Well, good morning, and thank all of you for being here this morning. We do have a couple of visitors, and want you to know that you're always an honored guest here at Prairie Village Church of Christ. We hope you'll come back each and every chance you get. As a matter of fact, we hope you're back here at 5 o'clock this evening. We're going to talk about two statements of Jesus. Two statements of Jesus. And if you don't get a chance to come back, you might want to go to our website, pvchurchofchrist.com, and you can get all the sermons that have been on there for some 2 to 3, maybe 4 or 5 years, I'm not sure. A lot of sermons there. Pick out the ones that you like and listen to them. I want you to turn your Bibles now back to the Old Testament, if you would, and go to Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. Now, while you're turning, I want to talk to you about one of the things that is most admired about successful people is that they all possess the ability to act promptly and decisively in times of crisis and decision. With lives hanging in the balance, military leaders must be able to quickly assess a situation and make a decision and carry it out. Doctors are often confronted with a need for decisive action. If they prolong consultation and delay making a decision, it's possible that the patient will die. And in business, profit belongs to the one who acts. How many potential big business deals have failed to materialize because someone wouldn't or couldn't make a decision? Once you get behind the wheel of a car, sooner or later you'll be confronted with the need to make a split-second decision and act now, or there's going to be an accident. Sometimes life and death hinge on our ability to make timely decisions. Sometimes success or failure in other areas is decided by whether or not we could decide and act. There's an old saying that we hear from time to time simply says, strike while the iron is hot. All that really means is act at the opportune time. God has given each of us the freedom of choice, the right to make our own decisions. We can choose our own path. We can chart the course we're going to follow. We are the captain of our own soul, so to speak. But this imposes upon each of us the responsibility of making our own decisions. And let me tell you, the most important decisions will not wait. They demand immediate attention. Those who are older can look back over their lives and can probably point to certain times, certain points in their lives when success or failure hinged on making a decision and sticking with it. Each pinnacle of achievement will only come as a result of our own decisive action. But you know something, brethren and friends? The greatest decisions that we all face in this life aren't related to business. They're not related to school or to anything that is earthly and material. The greatest decisions that we face in this life are concerning spiritual matters. I'm reminded of a statement made by the prophet Joel as he foresaw a time of God's judgment upon the nations that had oppressed his people in Joel chapter 3 and verse 14. Let's look at that. Joel wrote in chapter 3 and verse 14, he said, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." There are those who believe that Joel was talking about the day when Jesus would die on the cross and multitudes would be confronted with the awesome decision if they were going to be for or against this Jesus of Nazareth. Decisive action would be called for. There would be no man's land or no demilitarized zone. There would be no neutral zone. Jesus himself said, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathered not with me scattereth abroad." Matthew 12:30. Again, many believe that Joel was looking forward to it, that time when all would have to take a side, when a decision would be called for, when a decision would have to be made. All the day, standing in the valley of decision, all of us, brethren, all of us, in one way or another, And what is called for is decisive action. When the prodigal son came to his senses and repented of what he had done, he said, I will arise and go to my father. And he did. He arose and he went to his father. He made a decision and he stuck with it. Now who can forget the stirring words of Joshua in Joshua chapter 24? I wish you'd come with me there. Joshua chapter 24. In Joshua chapter 24, beginning in verse 14, the Bible says, Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served at the time were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Listen now. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This clear-cut, decisive action on Joshua's part left no room for misunderstanding and no loopholes for misinterpretation. Joshua was a practical man of faith. He knew how to make a prompt and right decision and to stick with it. The same clarion call issues forth today. Choose you today to whom you will serve, and far too many have not decisively chosen. Far too many try to hold on to Jesus with one hand and the world with the other. They will live for Jesus 2 days a week and hobnob with the world the other five. In so doing, they become 3 times more like Satan than like Jesus. We have decisions to make, brethren. We have decisions to make. We have to decide about worldly pleasures. Lots of us have made the decision to be a Christian, but we have not decided to leave the world behind. When the pleasures of this world confront us and we're in the valley of decision concerning them, we have got to make the right choice, and God demands that it be made at once. Come with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, John wrote beginning in verse 15, Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What a strong statement. Brethren, think about. Think about what we watch. Think about what we listen to and read. Think about what we take pleasure in. Unless I'm just missing the boat, and I have certainly missed a few boats in my life. Unless I'm just missing the boat, if we sit and watch television that is presenting something before us that is as immoral as it can be, as entertainment, and we don't turn it off, we're sinning. If we choose to dress immodestly because we have seen the world dress that way and we like it, what are we doing? If we choose not to fulfill the obligations to worship for some worldly pleasure, isn't that sin? We've got to make up our minds, brethren. We have to make up our minds. We are in a war that we must win. And we've got to make up our minds once and for all. And I know someone who did. Moses did. Come with me to Hebrews 11th chapter. Hebrews chapter 11. Beginning in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Listen now, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Do you remember Paul's words from 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10? Let's look at that. Paul here is talking about one of his fellow preachers, Demas. He's talking about Demas. And Demas decided he wanted to go back into the world. I believe this is some of the saddest words in the Bible. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. Paul said, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." Demas left him for this present world. I wonder in the spiritual realm if that is the epitaph hanging over any of our heads at the present time. Are any of us here spiritually dead because of the love of the world? The prompt decision to turn from the pleasures of sin that this world offers is challenging each of us today, and is not only that we do not participate in them which are sinful, but that we do not take pleasure in watching them and watching those who do sinful things. The Apostle Paul warns us of this in Romans chapter 1 and verse 32. Let's read his warning. Romans 1 and verse 32. If you worked in a factory like I did, you see men and women hanging around a water cooler telling jokes. And most of the people will laugh. Maybe they didn't tell the jokes, but they laughed at them. That's what Paul is saying here. He wrote in Romans chapter 1 and verse 32, he said, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death." Listen now, not only do the same, but have pleasures in them that do them. It's the same thing as doing them. If you have the pleasure, if you laugh at these kind of things or whatever it might be, it's the same as a sin as if you did them, he says. So now is the time to make the decision. Now is the opportune time. Strike while the iron is hot. Now I want you to come with me back to the Old Testament in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. First Kings chapter 18. You probably remember the great prophet Elijah has also left us with an example of prompt, decisive action. Challenging Israel on Mount Carmel before 450 false prophets of Baal, he cried out in 1 Kings 18 and verse 21 the following. He said in verse 21, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." How did the people respond? Do you remember how they responded? The rest of the verse says, "And the people answered him not a word." Not a word. Here was a definite and clear call for a decision to be made between God and the heaven and idolatry. And bear in mind, Elijah was calling upon people who were in a covenant relationship with God to make that choice. Think about that. There's a whole bunch of us today that have to face to do this, make the same decision. We don't have to bow down to a graven image to be involved in idolatry. And you may ask, well, what do you mean by that? Well, I'll tell you what I mean. Jesus said it best in Matthew 6 and verse 24. Look with me. Matthew 6 and verse 24. Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Think about it, brethren. Think about it. Have we all made a definite decision for God over the God of money? I just want to give you something to think about. If God has blessed me with a talent that can be used in His service and I don't use it because of money, what have I done? What have I done? I'd like to ask you this. When was the last time you heard a Christian mother or father encourage their son to become a full-time preacher? When was the last time you heard them encourage their daughter to marry a full-time preacher or to uphold his hands and be a helpmeet that he will desperately need? I've actually heard parents say that they don't want their daughters to marry a preacher. Why is that? Oh, brethren, let me tell you. Money is important, and material things are important. And here I don't have complaint one. But those kinds of things are not the most important. Before the opportune moment passes us by, we must make the decision to really and truly and finally to serve God over the wealth of this world. Failure to make a final decision and a definite decision will only result in ruin. And the thing about this God of money and the desire for things is that it is so insidious. And it can happen to us without our ever being fully aware of it. But it can happen. It can happen. I've seen it happen. I can't begin to tell you how many times I've seen it happen. A man or a woman gets a big promotion at work, and that feeds their desires to get more and to go even higher, and more of their time is devoted to work-related things, and the time given to the Lord suffers. Someone starts their own business and soon is absolutely consumed by it. I have seen potential elders literally fall down that path. This can be a constant struggle and a decision that has to be made almost on a daily basis because of the incredible pressure of the world in which we live. But it is a decision that we must make. And we all know the passage, and we all know what it says, but have all of us let it make a difference in how we view the world and the material things it has to offer? Let's read together, if you would, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul wrote, beginning with verse 6, he said, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." Listen now. "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." And of course we know that there is another decision to be made. And it's the gravest decision that will ever confront every accountable person. Pilate gave voice to this question in Matthew the 27th chapter. I want you to look with me there. Matthew chapter 27. Pilate said in verse 22, "What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" This is the question that accompanies the gospel proclamation. It is absolutely personal. It cannot be answered by friends and relatives. It is a decision that has to be made by you and by me. We cannot look anywhere else for our own answer. Look with me at what God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Paul wrote 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." I believe that the Bible indicates that to delay the decision concerning Jesus is to run a tremendous and foolish risk. Why would you put it off? If you're not a Christian, please, please think on this. Now I want you to come with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrew writer wrote in Hebrews 3 verses 7 and 8, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts." Harden not your hearts. God said, now is accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The Hebrew writer says, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Do it today. And a person becomes a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ only by a decisive action. Paul described it this way in Romans 6, verses 16 through 18. And I think it's important for us to look at this last passage together. That's Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Paul wrote these words. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, and have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." The decision must be made for godliness instead of worldliness. The decision must be made to turn from Satan to Christ, from sin to the living God. The decision must be made to trust God implicitly, turning from sinful living to walk in obedience to God. The decision must be made to tell the world that you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The decision must be made to enter into Jesus, to put Him on, to obtain the remission of sins through His blood, all of which is accomplished in baptism. Now is the accepted time. Now is the moment of opportunity that you cannot afford to ignore or to walk away from. Strike while the iron is hot has this application at this time and this place. I ask you, if you're not a Christian, are you ready to become a Christian? If so, when would be a better time than right now? I beg you and I plead with you to obey the Lord. To obey the Lord now. Confess Him as King, as Son of God. Repent of your sins. And confess Jesus as the Son of God, because He most assuredly is. And then be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Then you'll be on that road that leads to heaven. And if He comes back today, we'll all go home to heaven together. Won't that be wonderful? Maybe you've been unfaithful. If you've been unfaithful when you're coming to church or whatever, if you've sinned in a way that others are aware of, you need to repent to God and come forward. And we will pray with you and pray for you. Then you'll be back on that road that leads to heaven. Again, I tell you this. If you miss heaven, you've missed it all. If you miss heaven, you have missed everything. I wonder, can we help anyone in any way to make their life right with God? If so, come now as we stand and as we sing.